continue our discussion of the nature and scope of Lafrushei Misura. Until this point, we've discussed the possibility of causing someone a loss of money, also the additional element of Bizayon for the sake of Lafrushei Misura. We've discussed the case of Rav Ada Bar Ava, in terms of ripping someone's garments, a similar kind of thing in the case of Kelayim. That's a Hefsed Mamon. We even discussed the possibility of destroying a shtar if that shtar has ribbis in it, and causing the Malva loss, he won't be able to collect even the Keren, let alone the ribbis. We spoke about the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh. Would you be required to be Lafrushei Misura and embarrass someone, undermining his Kavod HaBrios, in the case of a person who's a Shogeg? The Rambam would say yes, and the Rosh would say no, and that develops from two different Girsos in the Sugya of Kelayim in Perek Misha Meso, Brachos, Daf Yutes Omid Beis. We want to move on and ask whether or not it's possible to cause someone physical damage, to harm someone, to hit someone, for the sake of Lafrushei Misura. That's more chomer than to say you can cause him a hefsed mamon. And the source for this is the Gemara in Hamidiach in Bava Kama, Daf Chav Ches Omid Aleph. The case is an Eved Nirtza Shekol Lo Yomov. The Eved was given a Shivcha Knanis, and in the case of an Eved Nirtza, he remains an Eved until Yovel. And now, after Yovel came, he refuses to divorce his Shivcha Knanis. He's no longer allowed to be married to her. Minayin lenirtza shekol lo yoma v'rabam ishari bo lotzeis v'chaval biyasa bo chavurashu patur. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak omar, the case is Eved shemosel o rabo shivcha knanis ad ha'id nehetera v'hashti yisura. And if he hits the Eved, then he makes a chabur in the Eved in order to pressure the Eved to divorce his shivcha knanis, he's patur from that. Rashi says Vahashta Isura, now that he's no longer an Eved Nirtza, it's after Yovel, he's not allowed to live with the Shivcha Knanis. Rashi says, Varashoy Lal Koso, Ula Frisho. He can go as far as inflicting physical harm on this Eved in order to be Mafreshin from Isur. And then Rashi has a few words, the Hai Dina Lavlin Nafshehu. He's not doing it for himself. It's not that the Adon, the Rav, has any benefits or any financial kickback that he gets here. On the contrary, he's doing it purely in order to be mafresh in Misura. So this Gemara in Bava Kama would seem to imply that even an act of Hakah would be permissible within the context of Lafrushei Misura. Now the question I want to raise with you is this a special halacha in the relationship, within the framework of the relationship of a Rav to an Adon, or is this a universal halacha? If you take a look at the Rosh in Perek HaMiniach, he says the following. He says, if he could accomplish the same goal by hitting him a much more limited way, less profound, that's what he has to do. He says, we have a similar law in Sanhedrin with regard to a rodev, that you're allowed to hit the and physically assault the rodef in order to protect the life of the nirdof, but you're not allowed to kill the rodef if you can accomplish the goal of atzolas nirdof with echad mevarov, with simply inflicting physical harm on the road they have to prevent him from doing what he wants to do without killing him. V'chein adinim adam roa shemakines aviv o bonav o achiv v'hikas hamakik de lahatzil krovo potur. So too a relative is allowed to hit back against someone who's threatening to hit his relative. It's strange in my mind that the Rosh limits this to the case of a relative. L'chora, it's not limited in such. And truth be told, if you read a little bit Vaita in the Rosh, he says, V'chedim roa adam Yisrael makas chavero. He universalizes this halacha. Just like this halacha of protecting the nirdaf from sakonas mavis, from the possibility of being killed and killing the rodev, so too there's a similar parallel halacha even with regard to something less dramatic than misa, is to be matzil someone from the hakah of the makeh, mutal hakoso lahakosa makeh lafrushe misura. And the source for this, that you're allowed to use physical assault against someone lafrushe misura, is the Gemara in Menachos that we saw regarding a nirtza shenasa shifcha knanis v'kolu yomav rabo mutal lachbolo bo lafrushe misura. So let's just summarize what we get from the Rosh, is that we can extrapolate from the case of the Eved Nirtza a more universal and broader scope application of this principle, that Lafrushi Misuri, you could go as far as hitting someone, inflicting physical harm upon him. And this is applied to cases way above beyond the case of an Eved, of the Rebbe, the Rav, the Adon, and his Eved. And when you look in the Truvas Adeshen, you get a slightly different impression. His Shiloh, the question that he raises in Siman Reish Yud Ches, is a person who hears his wife cursing her father or her mother, and he, the husband, hochicha b'dvarim, he tried to give a tochach and rebuke, kam v'kam pomim v'lo hoil. It doesn't seem to work. Is it permissible, that's the shela, for the husband to actually physically assault his wife, to cause her to endure pain in order to prevent her from doing this terrible act of klal against her parents? And the Truvas Hadeshin says, kahai gavna shari. Even though Makis Ishto, he quotes the Mordechai in the Darim, is over belav de pen Yosef, the hichmir miod bedavar, even though the violation of this lav of pen Yosef is very severe, especially in the case of a husband and wife, but nevertheless, lafrushe mi iser chomer kazeh vadai shari. It's interesting that he adds the word chomer, meaning there's got to be some commensurate severity. If you're violating Pen Yosef and hitting your wife, then there's got to be something really, really pressing here, some major violation that you're trying to avoid. And to protect or prevent her, in this particular scenario, from violating an achiv Mises Bezdin of Klolas Aviv, Kilas Aviv, or Kilas Ima. And in the second part of his tshuva, the Trumas Hadeshen quotes the Gemara in Perek HaMeniach about Eved Nirtza, and there you're allowed to be Chovil Bo Kedei Lafrisho Misura, and he extrapolates from that to the case that we mentioned before, the Ishto, who's Mekalel Saviyah. And the Trumas Hadeshen adds a line here that caught my attention, and that is, Hakaman, meaning what we derive from the Gemara in Bava Kama, is called Mishu Tachas Yado Shal Adam V'roa Bo Sha'ose Dvar Avera Rashoi Lakoso Liyaso Lafrisha Min Avera. He seems to describe the case in HaMeniach as a very small slice, a very unique category or a circumscribed scenario, namely, it's tachas yado. In a certain sense, what he's saying is that the Rav is in charge of the Eved. He's sort of like is the supervisor over the Eved. The Eved is in his domain, and he has to guarantee that the Eved doesn't do any Avera. It's almost as if he, as the Rav, as the Adon, carries a very special responsibility to see to it that his Eved is living up to the law and observing the Halacha. And that is the reason why I believe he extends the case of Eved Nirza to the case of Ishto. Because here too, in the case of Ishto, to some extent, the husband is responsible for letting, if he allows, you know, in a laid-back way, his wife to do Averis, he is, to some extent, responsible more than anyone else on the face of the earth. And the Truma Sadeshin adds, the Ein Tzorach Lahavi Lebezdin, Lavi Lebezdin Shefishu, the Kocham of Xerosam Dim Kain, Im Lokain, Gabi Nirza, Mai Shori Lachbobol, Yavienu Lebezdin. So to take this halach of Afrushim Yisur to such an extent and apply it to permit one to hit someone and inflict upon him physical suffering, that has to be limited, I think. And that's what the Truma Sadeshin implies here when he adds these words, Shehu Tachas Yodo. And that's going to allow us to even obviate the need to take the person to Bezdin. I don't have to take, I'm responsible for that person. That person is to some extent in my Rishus. Ha'isha Niknes Labaila. And whatever the nature of that Kenyan is, it's enough to engender a responsibility of the husband to see to it that his wife is not violating any of the laws of the Torah. And that's why, for example, when it comes to Nidarim, the Torah points to the husband as being in charge of giving the okay on her Nidarim, okay, not all Nidarim. And this stands, I think, in contrast to what the Rush was saying. The Rush was using the Gemara in Hameniach to establish that you can hit someone in order to prevent him from hitting someone else. And the Rush does not limit this to relatives or Takas Yodo, to Ishto Bailo, Rav Yavdo, none of that. You get the impression from the Rush that he sees this halacha of Hakob Muteres L'Shem Avrushim Yisura as a universal halacha, and it doesn't apply in a limited way to Misha Takas Yodo. And the Shulchan Aruch actually codifies this halacha of the Gemara in Bava Kama, Choshen Mishpat Tav Chaf Aleph Hilchos Chovel B'Chavero, Adam Aroa Echad Miyisrael Makeh Chavero. This is the Russian case that we saw in Bava Kama. V'Einu Yochel Atzilo Im Lo Sheyakeh HaMakeh Yochel HaKoso K'dei Lafrushim Yisur. Now, here it's interesting. The Rush and the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rush, are not applying the principle of Rodef, even though, again, the Rush at one point used the parish of Rodef to, add a certain condition or a certain warning that we should be very careful if we're hitting someone to prevent him from hitting someone else. We have to do it in the most limited way, whatever is absolutely necessary. But nevertheless, in terms of the very definition and the classification of this halacha, the Rush is quite clear, mutal hakos lafrushim misura. It's halacha of lafrushim misura. It's not a halacha of rodef and nirdof. And that we see clearly here in the Mechaber as well, yochal hakoso kidei lafrushim misura. Of course, one question that we have to address is why do we need Lafrushi Lisura here? Forget about Lafrushi Misura. Even if he was a shogeg, which according to the Rush, maybe the halacha of Lafrushi Misura wouldn't apply if it's covered abrius, etc. Dalmihachi, let's just leave that out. Forget about Lafrushi Misura. You've got to protect your friend. He's a victim. somebody's coming after him and beating him up, you should protect him, even if it means beating up the bully, the attacker. And that should be a perfect spin-off of the Halach of Rodif and Nirdav. It's not clear to me why the poskim here, whether it's the Rush or the Shulchan Aruch, have to apply the principle of Afushi Nisura. The Ramah adds in his Haggah, V'chein Mishu Tachas Rishuso. Apparently, the Ramah, like the true, or analyzed and understood the Truma Sedeshin the way we did, that there's a special category called Mishu Tachas Rishuso. Let's read the Ramah in its complete form. He says, V'chein Mishu Tachas Rishuso V'rohabo Shu Ose Dvar Avera Rashoy Lakoso Liasok De Lafrisha Miisur V'ein Tzorech Lavio Lebezdin. This is the Pesach of the Ramah based on the Truma Sedeshin. But it clearly indicates that there's some sort of separate halacha of Mishu Tachas Rishuso. And I would suggest the following, that the Rush, which is codified by the Mechaber, and the Truma Sedeshin codified here by the Ramah, are really on the same page. They're all saying one din. And that is, why are you physically assaulting someone who's about to do X or Y, is about to commit an Avera, is about to hit somebody else, whatever it might be, when you should be taking him to Beis Din? Isn't it the responsibility exclusively of Beis Din to judge someone, to bring testimony, find out what his criminal record is, is he violating Averis, and then to punish? I mean, that's one of the main functions of Beis Din, to punish the criminals. How do we allow, obviating the courts, man taking the law into his own hands and beating someone else up? And the answer is one of two possibilities, and they're both correct. One is because it's immediate. The situation calls for urgent action to defend the victim from the blows of the assailant. That itself requires me lafrushim misur without going to Beis Din. By the time I get to Beis Din, my friend is completely beaten up on the ground. I mean, I have to take immediate action. There's another halacha, and that's what's codified here by the Ramah based on Truma Sedeshin, that once again limits this halacha and allows you lafrushim misur outside of Beis Din by physically assaulting someone, and that is mishu tachas yado. Because if he's involved in an Avera, you have to be mafish from Isur, he's tachas yodcha, tachas rishuscha, you have a specific responsibility to see to it that he is observing the law. So that both of these two categories, whether it's the immediacy of protecting the victim or whether it's the tachas rishuso concept, this allows the hakot to take place without taking the case and the complaint into Beis Din, circumventing Beis Din. Now, there's another category or framework in which Hakah is permitted, and that's within the context of education, of a Melamed Torah teaching children, young children. And although this is not, shall I say, in vogue, it's not politically correct today, and you can get into deep trouble for this, especially if you overstep your bounds, but the Malame Tinokos is actually, shall I say, recommended, is commended if he does Hakkah in the right way and in the right time. The Gemara, the source for this is Baba Basra Chaf Aleph Perek Lo Yachpar. Omar Le Rav, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat was a famous Malamed at that time. And he was told by Rav, Ki Mochis Liyanuka Lo Timchi El Biarkasa Dimasana. True, you're allowed, you're permitted to hit the children, but use Arkasa Dimasana, a shoelace. Rashi says, Biritsuos Shel Min Olin Klomar, Make Kala, it's a very weak Maka. And Shalo Yuzak, there's no fear that the child might be physically hurt by it. And this is codified by the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. And if we put this into a broader perspective and the framework that we've been analyzing, the Halach of Lafrusha Misura, one could say one of two things. Either this is a separate Heter HaKah for the sake of Talmud Torah, or this is also within the perspective and the halacha. It's an application, a tributary of Lafrusha Misura. If the child has to be raised and educated and guided by the Malamed, and the child is mischievous and perhaps even violating the halacha, then it's Lafrusha Misura kicks in. But is there a halacha of Lafrusha Misura from children? Here we're going to have to introduce the element of Talmud Torah. Meaning, if at this young age you don't separate and how should I say, castigate the child from his misdeeds, then oy vavoy, down the line, what kind of education are you providing for the child? So the hakah here becomes necessary, perhaps as a preemptive Afrushe Misura. Or again, alternatively, the Hakkah can be viewed under the category of Mitzvah Sushinantam of Talmud Torah. It's the best way to get the children to learn, instill in them the fear of the Lord. That's what you have to do. But that's Halach in Talmud Torah. It's not Halach in Afrushe Misura, because Afrushe Misura would not apply to such a young child. What I'd like to study with you is the Yam Shel Shlom in the third parak of Bava Kama. And we saw the sugya of the Rav with his Eved Nirtza. And the Yam Shel Shlom says the following. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvaro. He goes back to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak in the case in Hameiniach. Shemuki haibraisa dinirtza bi'evet shemusal rabba shivcha knanis adeidno haisamuteris lo hashta surlo v'hu eino rotza lotzis mimenu v'chaval bo rabba pot v'rashoy lakos lafrisha misura di ovid dino lakodesh baruch. The Yam Shel Shlom, the Marshal, adds three words here: the Ovid Dino LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Once again, the motivation and the goal of hitting this person, in this case the Eved, is not for the benefit of the Adon. As we indicated earlier, it's Ovid Dino LaKodesh Baruch Hu. We saw this in Rashi in Perek HaMiniach. Rashi says, Haidino Lav LeNafshehu. Meaning that Ovid Inish Dino LeNafshe, when man can take the law into his own hands, that's a gigantic issue. And according to one view, ain't Ovid Inish Dino LeNafshe. You have to take him to Bezdin. You have recourse to Bezdin, but you don't have recourse to take the law into your own hands. Here, Lafrusha Misura, this is a case of Ovid Inish Dino, but not LeNafshe, but rather LaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what Rashi had said, or implied at least, in his comment there in Bava Kama. The Yam Shel Shlom spells it out clearly, the Ovid Dina LaKodesh Baruch. Then he writes, Mutali Adam Lahakos is Ishto Shehima Kaleles Aviha V'ima. And here he is codifying the halacha that we saw in the Trumas Hadeshin. So to summarize what we have here, the Yam Shel Shlom is number one, that for the sake of Lafrusha Misura, you're allowed to hit the Eved. And number two, for that same purpose, you're allowed to hit your wife, Rachmana Litzlan, because she's cursing her father, her mother. And he interprets it the following way. Machmas sho'overes al das. There is a unique contractual agreement, shall we say, ksuva, between the husband and the wife, and she is obligated and committed to observe the law. An overes al das in certain cases is excuses for divorce or justifications of divorce. The Ovid Dina L'Shamayim, once again, the same phrase that we saw earlier here in the Yam Shel Shlomo, he is not doing a din for himself, he's doing it for Shammai. The fact that she curses her parents, as far as he's concerned, that is lomayel v'lomorid. It doesn't impact on him. There's no real pressure on him to oven inish lulun nafshe, but rather he's doing it because of an inish l'akadosh baruch hu. And so the Yamshel Shlomo is clearly codifying what we saw. Sai in the rush and sai in the Trumas HaDeshen. That the Gemara Bava Kama is telling us that when it's Ovid Dina LaKadosh Baruch LaFrushi Yisura, you're allowed to hit someone. And that applies to the Eved case. And we saw in the rush that applies to the case of someone who's running after someone else and he's trying to hit him. To the case of Lafrushi Misura in Ishto, who's Mekaleles B'Aviyah V'Ima in the Trumas HaDeshen. So basically, the Yamshel Shlomo is presenting the halachas of Lafrushi Misura, the scope and the nature of this halach, of this principle, in the same way that we've seen it over and over again in all the Makaris that we saw. And it's a pretty far-reaching halacha that Ovid Inish Dina LaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says the following, Lav Dafka Kahai Gavna El Kol Mashi Hu Ose Mashi Ose Keneged Das Torah. This halacha of Overes Al Das is not limited to the case of a woman who's Mekalelas Avia V'Ima, but applies to any violation of the law. If she goes against the Das Torah, then it's a case of Lafrushi Misura, and he's allowed to use his physical strength. And then he writes, Afilu Overes B'mitzvah B'shei V'altaseh, even if her violation is passive. But then he adds the proviso, Mikomakom al yimayer ba'ka, el etzarech betochacha gemura mikodem. The precondition to permit this kind of haka of lafushi misura is that first he tried less dramatic and extreme measures of rebuke and chastisement, namely tochacha. When he has exhausted all his efforts of tochacha b'peh, then he's allowed to use haka according to the Yamshel Shlomo. Roe she'eino nishmas, she's not listening to his tochacha. The lav dafka rav liavdo u'bal liishto. Don't limit this halacha lafrushi misur b'haka to the case of tachas reshuso in the eved case or the ishto case. Hu adin, says the marshal, bar Yisrael. Kol Bal Yisrael, Bar Yisrael, Yachol Lochia Chavero Kidei Lafrushi Misura, and it's not a case. It's lav dafka a case of Tachas Reshuso. He says Mutal Akosa Al Dvar Tochach V'Dafka V'Adam Muchzok L'Kashus. Not everyone can take the law in his own hand and start beating up someone L'Shem Shamayim. Because of Ovid Dini LaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's got to be an Adam Chashuv, a Muchsof, a Kashrus, a person who's capable of being Mekayim the Mitzvah Tochacha. Adam a Muchsof, a Kashrus, Yadua Lehem, Shal Hashem Shamayim Hu Oseh, Vu Adam Chashuv, a Muflog, Aval Stamad Inshi, Lav Kol Kmini. Dim Lokein, is Lo Shavkis Chayil Choberia. You know, we're not out for anarchy, that all the bullies in the world are going to beat up people and say, Lafrushi Misura. It requires a bezdin, but the exceptional case, not the rule, but the exception to the rule, is Adam Muchsof Bekashrus. He's L'Shem Shamayim. He's fulfilling the mitzvah the way it has to be fulfilled. He's tried, he's exhausted every other possibility. And now the only way Lafrushi Misura is through Hakah. Such an Adam Chashuv is allowed to implement that halacha of Hakah Litzarech Tochacha. However, if it's a case of a rank and file citizen he's not an Adam Chashuv, then the halacha is he must avail himself of the Dayan, of the Bezdin, who should determine how to accomplish this goal of Lafrushe Misura. And the Amshel Shlomo says, Dayano Adam Chashuv. And I frankly don't know where this Adam Chashuv is derived from. You know, Dayan Nicha, I can understand that. The halacha is that a Dayan is in charge of Shoftim and Shotrim, Titencha, and the Shotrim have to execute the law if it means beating up someone. And the Bezdin is in charge of the religious behavior and the standards of religious behavior of the people in the city and in the country. But Adam Chashuv, where does that come from? Where do we find a status of an Adam Chashuv with regard to the mitzvah of Tochacha? And we're going to try to find sources to prove that there's a special mitzvah of Tochacha that's incumbent upon an Adam Chashuv. And beyond that, we can determine that an Adam Chashuv is someone who has absolute honesty. And therefore, if the Adam Chashuv is implementing a hakah for the sake of Yifrush Misura, it must be that it's objectively correct. This is not an act of vengeance. This is not an anarchy situation. The Adam Chashuv is sort of like the watchdog. He's the extension and the arm of Bezdin in order Lafrush Misura. And if that Adam Chashuv determines that the only way of achieving this goal is through hakah, again, this is not something so contemporary in our time to understand it that way, but it could be possible even in that time, and that's exactly what the Adam Chashuv will do. Lafrushe Misura is Lafisha, is allowed to hit someone if need be. Now, what we've discussed is Lafrushe Misura in a general sense. And we said that Lafrushe Misura means Ovid Inish Dini Dino L'Shamayim. But that usually applies to Bein Adam L'Makom. Right? A person is violating an Aveir of Bein Adam L'Makom. Like, for example, he's violating the Isur Kalayim. Or, in the case that the Trumas Hadeshin mentioned, she's cursing her parents. That's been Adam Lamoko. However, says the Amshel Shlomo, Avol b'mashe ben Adam l'chavero kugon echad shehika chavero is mutul l'chol echad v'yechad afilu ish poshut l'atzil es ochiv v'yochol l'hakos hamaka k'dei l'atzil es hamuka. Interesting. The Amshel Shlomo, in contrast to the Ramah who is basing himself on the language of the Trumas Hadeshen, the Amshel Shlomo is going way beyond Lafrushe Misura. Well, when I say way beyond Lafrushe Misura, and we saw in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Chovil v'Chaver Choshim Mishpat, that the green light to beat someone up who's about to beat someone else up is Lafrushe Misura. I don't see that in the Amshel Shlomo. What I see in the Amshel Shlomo is a different approach, and that is Kedei Lahatzil Samuka. And in that case, it becomes a spin-off and an application of the umbrella organization called Rodef and Nirdaf. You harm the Rodef to save the Nirdaf. You make the Rodef because otherwise the Nirdaf is going to get a big blow. And perhaps we could say that there is, or there may be nafkaminis between the approach of the Shulchan Aruch that we saw Lafrushe Misura in the case of Makkah, Hakah for Hakah, whereas the Amshel Shlomo is applying the principle of Rodef. And the nafkamina would be whether Beis Din should be involved. In the case of the Mechaber, who's applying Lafrushe Misura in the Hakah case, then perhaps the prime responsibility of Lafrushe Misura is incumbent upon Beis Din. That comes under their responsibility. If for some reason Beis Din is not around, or Beis Din, we have no access, or they're overloaded with work, then we can apply the principle of Ovid Yiddish Nafshe LaKadosh Baruch Dino LaKadosh Baruch. So that's Hafrusha Misura, and that's what's codified in the Shulchan Aruch. The Am Shel Shlomo, however, would probably offer a different set of rules and regulations as to why and how you can circumvent Beis Din, and that is because of the urgency of the situation. The goal here is not to be mafrish the makeh from isur as much as it is to save the mukeh from being smashed. And it really makes sense that according to the Mechaber's approach, that you're beating someone else lafrusha misura, who are you to make that call if there's no possibility of availing yourself of Beis Din? You better be an Adam Chashuv. You've got to be totally objective in your Ovid Inish Dina La Kodesh Baruch Hu La Shamayim. Masha'enkin, if you're talking about the Yam Shel Shlomo, we're talking about a whole different set of circumstances and a whole different reason why you're hitting someone, and that is to protect your friend who's a victim. Here, you don't have to be an Adam Chashuv. The Yam Shel Shlomo spells it out. Bein, he says, it could be, what was his language again? Afilu ish poshut lahatzil echov yochol lahakos es hamaka kedei lahatzil samuke. So therefore I would present to you the thesis that there are two different approaches about the green light, the permissibility of hitting someone in order to prevent him from doing something worse, and one road leads to lafrusha misura. And I would say the primary responsibility is incumbent upon Beis Din. If not Beis Din, let it be an Adam Chashuv who, so to speak, represents Beis Din. And the other road to take is that sometimes the Hakah is absolutely urgent and pressing to save the victim. And here, we don't require Beis Din, and we don't require an Adam Chashuv, even in Ish Poshet Lahatzil Osechov, is Yochel Akoso, if need be. We mentioned earlier that there was a Heter Hakah, and perhaps even a Mitzvah Hakah, in the case of a Malamed Tinokos. The Shulchan Aruch codifies this in Hilchos Malamdim Reish Mem Hei, Lo Yakos HaMalamed Makas Oyev Musar Achzori. This is all based on the Rambam in Hilchos Tam Torah. Lo Bishotim Lo Makel Bertzua Ketana. And indeed, the Gemara Lo Yachper says that Rav told Rav Shmuel that when you hit the child, you should use Arkasa de Mesana, just a thread, like a shoelace, nothing more powerful. What happens if a Malamed hits his student and injures him? His Chayov Bechamisha Dvarim. That's what it says here in the Pisrei Tshuva in Yoredei Reish Mem Hei. He's got to pay for all Dini Chavola, Umenadin also. And all this is because the Malamed Tinokos overstepped his bounds. Instead of using an Arkas of the Mesani, instead he was Maka also Makas Oyev, and that's why he injured him. And for that injury, he has to pay the five categories of Chovel Mazik. And not only that, they put him into Nidui in the meantime. So I don't know if it pays to be Malamed Tinokos. You know, it's really scary. On the one hand, you know, you may have to discipline them by hitting them. But on the other hand, you got to be so careful to guarantee that you don't hit them too hard. Or if they lose their balance, then who knows what injuries they might be inflicted upon them. You can have a green light as a malame to hit the child, but you should know at the same time you will have to pay damages, literally, if there is recourse to force the makeh, if we can prove that the hakos hamakeh in the case of the Melamed, had that negative impact and really damaged and hurt the, you know, the child, the Yanuka, the Talmido, then the Melamed is held responsible for that. I'd like to study with you a fascinating tshuva, the Nodav Yehuda. The Nodav Yehuda, of course, was one of the great minds of the Ashkenazic world of Psak in the last three centuries. But I also want to study with you the Divrei Chaim, who addresses the same Shaila, but with a different approach. And we'll see if we have enough time to finish this. The Nodav Yehuda's question is the following. He received the question by mail, and he writes in the question that a person, a young man, was nebuch nichshal with a married woman. And this went on, this immoral relationship, for a number of years. 3 years. And it's a strange scenario, but what happens is, this man who committed this avera marries the daughter of this woman. He becomes a Baal Tshuva, as far as this avera is concerned. And somehow his study of Torah strengthens him and prevents him from getting deeper and deeper involved in this sin. And now he wants to ask the following question. He's now part of the family, and he's very concerned. He's a Baal Tshuva. Does he have to notify his father-in-law? Because his father-in-law is not allowed to live with his mother-in-law, with his wife, because of the tumah, because of the znus, that she committed this adulterous relationship. Or perhaps it's better for him to be quiet, because these are people of name, of reputation. They have children who are considered very significant and outstanding in the Torah world. It's a lovely family, and this will be a pagam to the mishpacha. And there is halach of kavod abrios. So is the son-in-law, who's a Baal Tshuva, allowed to be shevi altas and not notify his father-in-law? And if, on the other hand, he is obligated to notify his father-in-law, can he do that outside of Beis Din in order to prevent or limit the damage? Im yodia lechomav lo yashkiach v'chuyiv lovo le Beis Din v'im yesh koch b'yad Beis Din lachricho lifrosh al pi vidui shel chasano. Another aspect of this question is if this story ever comes to the attention of Beis Din, are they now in charge of forcing the husband to divorce his wife based on the confession of the son-in-law? To what extent is the vidui of the son-in-law, this, what he reveals here, a piece of reliable evidence, and Beis Din has to assume he's telling the truth? There are other dimensions to this Shiloh which we're not going to cover now, but the most important question here is, would the chassan have to notify his father-in-law to make sure that his father-in-law divorces his wife? And the Nodav Yehuda starts with one leg but ends with a whole different leg. At the beginning of his response, he says the following. A person who knows about a married woman who has nus tachas bailah is obviously obligated lahafrish as bailah misura. However, since there's a pagam mishpacha, the halach of kavod abrios kicks in. Can we say in this particular case that Gadol Kavod Abriach Shedokha Losa Seshabat Torah? And l'chora, it's impossible to say such a thing. Because here, the father-in-law, the husband, every single time he has be'ilah, he violates this iser of enitma, not b'shevi altaseh, but rather b'kum vaseh. And if Kavod HaBrios has a power to trump an aver in the Torah, it's only b'shevi altaseh. But here it's a case of kum vaseh. And then he writes the following. Mikolakom kevan shabal eino yodea. But the push here and the responsibility, obligation of notifying the father is because of Lafrushi Misura. Well, let's go back to our model, our paradigm of the Kilayim case. At least according to the Rush, there's a distinction between Shogig and Mezit. So although the Rambam holds that Lafrushi Misura applies even though he is unaware of the Avera, he doesn't know he's wearing Kilayim, even Bishogeg, nevertheless, the Rush allows for Kavod HaBrios to override Lafrushi Misura if the person who's violating that Isur is doing so b'shogeg. And as the Nodu Yudu points out, we've seen this before, it's based on the two girsos of the Sugyan Brachos Yud Testament Beis, whose beged has to be removed in the Shuk. Is it Yenom's beged or is Big Doe his own beged? And in the case of Lovesh Kelayim, which is Kumvaseh, we would not pay any attention to Kavod HaBrios unless there is this mitigating circumstance of Shogeg, which would only be accepted according to the Rush. The Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Kelayim understands that Hamotzi Kelayim Beshuk means anyone who's wearing Kelayim. It doesn't say Hamotzi Kelayim Bebigdo. It says Hamotzi Kelayim Beshuk. It's referring to someone who discovers that his friend is wearing Kelayim and he has to take off that Beged even in public. And according to the Rambam, despite the fact that the person who's now being stripped naked, who's wearing Kelayim, is unaware of the fact that the Beged has Kelayim. So that even though we have a situation of Shogeg, and as far as the person who found the Kelayim, he certainly, for the sake of Kavod HaBrios, would rather be Shevi Altaseh, but the answer is, Ein Chochma Vein Tvura Keneged Hashem. And we could say that Lovesh Kelayim is a Kumvaseh, and that's why he has to take it off. The Rush, on the other hand, is a different gears of Motzi Kelayim Bebigdo, and it's only the Motzi finds that his own beged that he's wearing is Kelayim, is he has to remove it even Bishuk. But that's because every second henceforth after he finds and discovers the Kelayim is Mezin, and that we can't allow. But if it's someone else who's wearing Kelayim unaware to him, unbeknown to him, then the Rush says, you're not mechuyev to be mekayim the lafrushi misura because yenom is only a shogeg. And it could be, the way that Nodav Yehuda understands it, I'll read to you one line, im lovesh, im halovesh hu shogeg lo mikri legabe kum vaseh, that somehow the Nodav Yehuda operates with an equation between shogeg and Shevi Altaseh, meaning that even though a person is actively wearing a Beged Shel Kelayim, he put it on himself and he's wearing it every second, it's like a Kumvaseh, but nevertheless, if he's a Shogeg, it converts it into Shevi Altaseh. That point is not 100% clear. Why should we make this equation between Shogeg and Shevi Altaseh? That's not clear. So therefore, at this point in the tshuva, again, we'll soon see how it develops further. This answer is that you want to know whether you, the chassan in this case, have to notify your father-in-law. It all depends on the machlokes between the Rambam and the Rush. According to the Rambam, despite the fact that your father was a shogeg, it doesn't matter, he's doing the avera multiple times, and therefore you have to do whatever you have to do to convince him that he shouldn't remain married to his wife. So that's according to the Rambam, in the same way you have to take off someone else's kelaim, even though he's a shogeg, you have to notify your father-in-law that he's not allowed to live with his wife, even though in doing so he would only be a shogeg. And that's the Rambam's chumer, but the Rosh paskins, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that as far as someone else is concerned, that lovesh, if he is shogeg, then it's not called kuvase. And therefore, you don't have to do what you have to do to lafrusha misur if he's a shogeg in a place where there's a situation where there's kovet abrios. So the Rambam paskins that this din of lafrusha misura applies even to a lovesh b'shogeg, but the tour brings down in the name of his rush, and now we see that there may be other poskim, the Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha, but in the Ramadar to Deus, and all of the Machaber Paskins L'chumra, like the Rambam, the Ramah quotes the sheet of the Rosh in his Hagah. In our situation, it's mamish very similar to the situation of Kelayim. The Baal is violating the Isur in a situation of Kumvase, and he's Baal Ishto Hatmeelo, even though he's Shogeg. Nevertheless, the Rambam would say you have to be Mafish in the Isur. Interesting that the Noda Yud makes the following point. He says, "Zeh Yodea means Nusa Mikri Shevi Altas Shenim Nemeldio." He's operating with this distinction between Kuvase and Shevi Altas on two different levels. At one level, we have to ask about the continued situation of the Over Ha'iser. Is he doing it actively or passively? And from this perspective, we would be tempted to classify him as active. But if you ask the question about the bystander, the Mechuyev Bilahafish Eschaver Miser, his non-involvement, to the extent to which we alleviate him from his obligation, is a Shevi Altas situation. But in any event, the Baal is violating Mekum Vaseh. The only difference is that he's a shogeg, and therefore the Divrei Rosh is Rashoy Lishtok Mipnei Kvod HaMishpacha. So for the sake of Kvod HaBrios, he can allow the shogeg situation to continue, and according to the Rambam, he would have to notify him in order to prevent him from violating an is. That's round number one in the Noda B'Yehuda, but the story and the plot grows thicker, because he says that there's room to say that even the Rush would agree in this case that the son-in-law has to notify his father-in-law to guarantee that his father-in-law will divorce his wife to prevent, in this case, the Isha herself, meaning his mother-in-law, from Avera. She certainly knows about this news. She's violating the Kumbaseh. A very sharp point to the Noda B'Yehuda. He backtracks on this, and he says that her status, the Isha, is that of an Omer Mutta, because she doesn't know the din, and she's not aware of the fact that she's not allowed to live with her husband. You know, she ceased and terminated her relationship with the adulterer, and now she's dedicated to her husband. In her mind, she thinks that's perfectly okay. And the status of an Omer Mutta, says the Noda B'Yehuda, is that of a shogeg, and therefore we would suggest that Enochinami, from the perspective of the Rush, he, the son-in-law, would not have to notify neither his father-in-law nor his mother-in-law. Both are begetter shogeg for different reasons. The father-in-law is begetter shogeg, he's not aware of this nus. The mother-in-law is begetter shogeg, even though she's aware of this nus, but she doesn't realize that living with her husband is an avera. And Omer Mutter is shogeg. Then he turns around and he throws another curveball. He says maybe the Rambam would also agree in this case that he's not necessarily chayav to notify his father-in-law. And the reason for this, why would the Rambam say such a thing, is because Rambam only established the halacha of poshto afilu b'shuk, despite the fact that yenem is a shogeg, afushim isur applies, because of ein chacham ein tvuna keneged Hashem, meaning a public desecration in the name of Hashem. There's a chil Hashem because the public is aware of the fact that he's wearing kelayim. Kol roa yira b'einov shezel ovish kelayim. And even though they're not aware of the fact that he's a shogeg, nevertheless, when they see him wearing kelayim, not nevertheless, but dafka because when they're not aware of the fact that he's a shogeg, they think he's doing it deliberately, that's a chil Hashem. However, in a place where it's not shaykh to talk about chil Hashem, then the Rama would agree that even in the case of kuvaseh, we apply the principle of kovod abrios. Gadol hakovod abrios lidchos lo seshesh b'torah v'afilu b'kuvaseh. In our case, nobody knows that this woman had this adulterous relationship and she's not allowed to live with her husband. And therefore, if the noef will be shosik, if he'll be silent, nobody will know. And there's no chil Hashem. So this is very exciting, because at this point in the development of the Noda B'Yehuda, he's suggesting that from the Rush's point of view, it's very easy to conclude that there's no need or responsibility to notify the father-in-law because he's a shogeg. She is also a shogeges because of Omer Mutah. She doesn't know that she's not allowed to resume her normal marital relationship with her husband. And now he's suggesting that even the Rama would agree in this case. And the reason for that is because the Rambam equates Mazen and shogeg in the light of Chil Hashem. No one is aware of the fact that he's a shogeg, and therefore they all assume he's a mezid. That's called chil Hashem in public. Take off the garment from him, it's kelayim. The roeh thinks that this guy is deliberately violating kelayim. However, in the case of the Eishes Isha Zinsa, where nobody knows about that tznus, therefore there's no chil Hashem, and the Rambam himself would agree that kovod abrios would trump the halacha of lafrushe meisura, and therefore if the Noda B'Yehuda would have stopped here, he would have presented the final psak that the son-in-law does not have to notify his father-in-law. But at this point, the Noda B'Yehuda backtracks, changes his mind, completely throws out his presentation. He said it's not chil Hashem here in this context, and lafushim misur in public is not relevant to the knowledge of the roim, whether the spectators in the public are aware of this avera or not. According to the Rambam, the aspect of chil Hashem here is the etzem maisa avera. That itself is chil Hashem. And he goes through a long proof here, which we won't have time for. But his conclusion is asiyas ha'isur is considered chil Hashem. And therefore, according to the Rambam, in chach bein tvuna, you have to notify him. However, if you want to say, let's rely on the Rosh, after all, the Rambam himself quoted the Rosh. However, let's read the Rosh carefully, and we'll see that even according to the Rosh, he has to notify his father-in-law. And the reason for this is because the Rosh quotes a Yerushalmi, and in the Yerushalmi, when the Yerushalmi says kovod abrios is enough to be doche, even a losase, it adds the two words shah achas. The heter, for the sake of kovod abrios, of withholding information and not getting involved actively lafrusha misura is only for a temporary moment. It's for Shah Achas. The man is wearing kilayim in the shuk. As soon as he gets home, we'll notify him that he has to change. So that's called a Shah Achas. But in our case, if the son-in-law is shoseik, then the Baal, as far as having relations with his wife, is kol yom be'isur. We're not talking about a short temporary period of time. We're not talking about a solution that's imminent. If the Baal doesn't know about his wife as an adulteress, then he's going to be involved in an avera tmidis, and this does not fulfill the condition of the Yerushalmi quoted by the Rosh of Lefi Shah Achas. And therefore, at this point, the Nodav Yehuda has made an about face. Initially, he said the Rosh would certainly be Mata, and even the Ram would be Mata. Now he's saying the Ram would ask for it's called Hashem for the Maisa Ver. The Rosh would ask for it because it's an Avera Tmidis. And the issue of whether or not the son-in-law should go to Beis Din and notify Beis Din about this whole situation, says the Nodav Yehuda, that's not a requirement. He's not obligated to go to Beis Din. It's simple and straightforward. Let him just notify the Baal himself. And I'm imanavshach. If the Baal accepts his word and it'll be Porish Manisha, very good. That's good for the Baal. If he doesn't accept it, he doesn't believe in what the son-in-law is saying, then what are you going to gain by taking this into Beis Din? Because what happens in Beis Din? Are we going to force the Baal to divorce his wife? On what basis? On the basis of the testimony of one individual, Eidav Shemer Box Mishnayim. So Beis Din is not going to rely on this guy's testimony, even though he's a great Baal Tshuva, and force his father-in-law to divorce his wife. In fact, it could be even more than that, that the son-in-law is not allowed to go into Beis Din, because since he doesn't have a pair, another witness to create a cat, he may be violating the Isur Motzi Shemra. And the Nodav Yehuda is absolutely convinced, therefore, that the Boel, the son-in-law, should not go to Beis Din, but rather should approach the father-in-law face-to-face in a private discussion and try to prevail upon the father-in-law that this is the truth. And this is what happened, and therefore he must believe him and be poresh mi ishto and give her a divorce. The Nodav Yehuda continues to prove, based on a sugya kedushin, that if a person comes yichidi without a second member of a kat to testify about someone that he violated an isur, he proves from different sugyas and shas, especially in Kedushin, that he's allowed to do so as long as he's doing it lafrishe me'isura. So as far as Beis Din is concerned, there are one set of halachas, but as far as what he personally can do in a private conversation of Arbe Nayim, that responsibility lafrishe me'isura certainly is incumbent upon the Boel, and for that matter, anyone who knows that someone else is violating an Isur. And at the end of this tshuva, the note, and so far again, to summarize two conclusions of the Nodav Yehuda, number one, everybody would agree, both the Rosh and the Rambam, that the son-in-law is obligated to notify his father-in-law, and point number two, the son-in-law is well advised not to go to Beis Din here in this case. That might be a chashash of motzi shemra, but on the other hand, lafrushi misur in a personal conversation to notify the father-in-law and try to prevail upon him that he's required to do. In the last paragraph, it's very interesting. He says that the best recommendation I could give to this noev, to this son-in-law, is yagid rak lebala isha behetznea. He should notify the husband in private, and al pidin lo yalomer lo rak sheyeda shezitze ishto ki malo labal im mi zinsa. Interesting. He recommends that the son-in-law just say the following: I know that your wife was mezana. He doesn't point the finger towards himself, because from the perspective of the husband, it doesn't matter one iota who it was that had this relationship with his wife. So therefore, there's no need for the noef to publicly confess his sin. It's bechinam. It's a waste. It's not necessary, because he can fulfill his obligation on frushim misur without incriminating himself. No need for self incrimination. And he quotes the Gemara at the end of Yuma that a person could be mechasa a chet if it's not mefursam. And then the Yehuda is excited about this point, but once again he makes an about face, because he says it's more logical to assume that if the goal of the son-in-law is lafrushi misura, then the Svara says intuitively he would have more power or persuasion power over his father-in-law if he appears, and this is true, as a misvades, as a penitent who cries and krechts, and he lets out a krechts. There are ways in which the Baal will certainly be able to pick up on the fact that this story is a true story. This is not a fabrication. And therefore, Tovlo Shisvale Vitzinim Vifnei Baal HaIsha Shehu Ata Chamiv Vim Yisbayish Mizem Mipnei Chamiv Mipnei Chamiv Tovlo Shisbayish Viover Avim Yisbayish Mochlo Avonosov. And therefore, the Nod Behuda advocates that the Boel, the Noef, the son-in-law, should notify his father-in-law that he himself is guilty for this crime. He has to be Mavakish Mechila from his father-in-law, because the Averi is not just Bein Adam L'Makom, which requires a great deal of tshuva and Yom HaKippurim, but is also Bein Adam L'Chavero, because he, the son-in-law, the Boel, has caused his father-in-law to have to divorce his wife. That's a terrible Bein Adam L'Chavero. And with regard to Bein Adam L'Chavero, Ein Yom HaKippurim V'lo Tshuva Moel, you need to be Mefayasim B'dvarim. So reading the language of the Nod B'Yudu as he ends this tshuva, he says, in Bein Adam L'Chavero, and in this case, Gorim Lo Lesar Ishto Olav, is Ein Yom HaKippurim V'lo Tshuva Moel, V'tzarch HaKom L'Fayso B'dvar, She'eno Moel Tshuva, So basically, this the abstract psak of the Nod Vihuda, A, that yes, the Boel would have to notify his father-in-law, Lafrusha Misura, and that's even according to the Rosh, and certainly according to the Rambam. B, that he doesn't go into Bez and he has to do this personally, privately, and he should notify him, because that'll be more convincing to have an impact on his father-in-law by notifying that he himself is the criminal that we're talking about. He's the Baal, he's the Noev. It's going to be a very tricky situation, and that's when the Nod Vihuda brings it down to the bottom level, the practical level, and he says that he, the Noev, would have to ask Mechila, because it's not just the Bein Adam L'Makom which needs tshuva, but it's also Bein Adam L'Chavero. Now, as I indicated before, this tshuva of the Nod B'Yehuda comes under, shall I say, a very serious barrage and a whole counter-argument in another tshuva, the Divrei Chaim. It's a little bit late now. I think we'll go through the Divrei Chaim B'li Neder the next time we meet, and we'll stop here.